Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're talking about something that people collect and I am terrified of. We are talking about dolls. And we have two real dolls as guests on the show, and I don't mean that in any sort of offensive way, so if you are offended, you're both ready to call me out right away. Both returning guests. Our first returning guest hasn't been on since, I think, like episode 10? It's been a long time. But Wendy Littlepage, who works at the, what is the name of it? It's the Denver Museum of Dolls and Toys? Miniatures, Dolls, and Toys. Yes. Wendy, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks.
Yeah, we're all hanging in there. Would you, at this point in the pandemic, prefer to be a carefully curated doll inside a dollhouse over being a human being living through the pandemic?
My life probably wouldn't change a whole lot because I've been working 60 hours a week. So if it's one of the dolls that actually comes to life when people aren't looking, totally that. But I think it's very little change for me.
Okay. Well, yeah. And I do see in the background of the Zoom that there is a 40-foot tall woman who is arranging furniture in your living room in the background. So yeah, it seems like it tracks.
Yeah. It's a little awkward. She just moves stuff. Like I agree with her stylings, but what are you going to do?
It seems like she likes mid-century modern stuff, so I get that. I think that's cool. But yeah, I would find it intrusive, so hopefully you'll be safe and she won't step on you or anyone else in the house.
Yeah, as long as she puts away my laundry, I think we're okay.
That's, oh man. And how easy is it to put away laundry? I guess it's kind of hard to fold because it's so tiny. You've got to do it with four fingers, but otherwise, yeah. Well, great. Thank you for coming back on the show. It's good to see you again. Our other returning guest who will be competing against you tonight on the theme of dolls is Becca Lipman. Becca, welcome back. You haven't been here since, I don't know, like 12 episodes ago. Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
It's been
a clip, but it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, this is my second of the pandemic episodes.
Yeah.
Kind of like categorize pre-pandemic and during pandemic.
I like to call this the golden era of the podcast is the pandemic era, when the sound quality is down, the energy is horizontal, and the hope is creeping up. I don't know.
22, I'm here for it.
Yeah. We just got to make it through 1.5 to 2 more years, guys. We can do this.
Do it.
How's it going, yeah, Becca?
Oh, you know, all right. Just living the dream, still working at home and trying not to be infected by stupid idiots that are out in the world.
They're everywhere. Yeah. They're everywhere all the time.
Yeah, definitely. It's terrible. I've been doing more in-person sort of events, and it's kind of incredible to me. Like, I'm taking things very seriously, like wearing a mask even when I'm outside, and there's just people that, like, I'm just amazed at the stupidity at this point. So,
agree.
Yeah. No, it is. It's astounding. I've been to a handful of outdoor gatherings of some kind since maybe the latter part of the summer. A couple of those just with family, where it's like, okay, we're going to eat outside at a picnic table in the courtyard, and that'll be the thing we do because otherwise we can't spend any time together safely. But yeah, it blows my mind. I mean, Jenny and I walked through Cheeseman Park, say a couple weeks ago. There's like 100-person volleyball tournament going on, and everybody's basically just like licking the ball and passing it to each other. I don't understand. I don't know what the plan is here.
My favorite.
Yeah, I was at a pumpkin.
Large open crochet masks I've seen.
I was at a pumpkin patch event this weekend. And like, I would say the majority of people were doing a good job. Like a lot of kids even had masks on and it was outside, but there was a woman in a booth across the way from me who was selling essential oils. And I don't necessarily want to talk bad about everyone who believes in essential oils, but she just Like, she had an inability to keep a mask on her face. And she had that habit of, like, she would have a mask on, and then when somebody would come into her booth area and talk to her, she would, like, pull it down. And I'm like, you're doing the opposite yeah. of what you're supposed to do here.
I wonder if when she goes scuba diving, she always just takes the mouthpiece out immediately upon going underwater.
Yeah. So I'm just staring at her from 20 feet away and just like, oh my God, shaking my head and hoping that those people then don't come and talk to me and spread those germs.
Yeah. Oh, what a time to be alive, right? This is a blast. Let's segue.
Some really good, good smelling hand sanitizer. Cannot recommend enough.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My hands smell the best they've ever smelled. So that is a big upside. I think I've got some like Waikiki mist or something. That's the current
hand soap, folks.
Let's talk about some things that have no risk of catching COVID-19 because they've never been alive unless in my nightmares. And we're going to talk about dolls. So the opening question for each of you, and Wendy, we'll start with you, is did you have a favorite doll as a child, or do you agree with me and you think they're really creepy, or both?
My grandmother made dolls, so I learned really young about the spectrum of creepy. But my mom got me a really nice doll from Germany that looked a lot like me, but was also like enough not in the uncanny valley that I really liked her. And now my niece has her and takes her like on special adventures. So, and then actually my favorite doll was a hand-me-down from my brother, Katie okay. doll. Katie and doll been with four of us.
And this doll that looks like you was not, so it wasn't creepy like the Estelle Costanza doll from Seinfeld?
Oh, no. It was, I mean, it's a really pretty German doll. I want to say it's Heidi Ott. For all your listeners in the know. And it was just like, it looks like a kid, but it doesn't look, it's just like, it's a pretty mellow doll. But the Katie doll, my brother, actually, you'll like the story. My brother had a hard time with me crying when I was an infant, and he couldn't do anything because he was only 18 months old. And so my mom got him this doll. And when I would cry and he would get frustrated, he would throw the doll against the wall.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
I got the doll, and then my niece got the doll, and now my nephew has the doll. So it's like, Katie doll is for real. She's like, had to have multiple clothes replacements because they've been loved through. She's a true like battle axe, Joan Arc of the doll world.
She has sublimated a lot of frustration over her existence. And yeah, I mean, see, this is the kind of thing where if she came to life, I would be terrified because that much just pattern of abuse that, oh yeah, no, I've been thrown around things and smacked against things because real babies were crying. And yeah.
She's nice.
Okay.
yeah, she also got to like eat s'mores at scout cookouts and stuff. So I think
she's had a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of dipped in jam. So like she loved like that.
Well, Becca, favorite doll? Did you have a favorite doll growing up, or are they creepy, or both?
I mean, I definitely, like, now looking back on it, I would say some of my dolls were probably creepy, but I did have a ton of dolls as a kid. I think probably my favorite to play with was, I'm definitely the age of Cabbage Patch. So I had a Cabbage Patch doll that had, like, blonde ringlet, like, braids, and you know, had a signature on her butt and everything, and it was a big deal when I got the Cabbage Patch doll. The one doll that I never had as a child that I was always like really jealous of everyone who had one was an American Girl doll. So that was like right around that time in the late 80s, early 90s when American Girl was the big thing. And I never got one of those. But my best friend growing up had an American Girl doll, and I would like go over to her house and read the books for her. She had Molly and her sister had Samantha. And so I would read all their books. But yeah, and then my mom made some dolls as well. So she did ceramics. And so I had some ceramic dolls that were not play with dolls. They were look at dolls. So we weren't allowed to like do much with the ceramic dolls because their heads would break. But they were just like pretty. And there was one that was named Rebecca and it was supposed to be me when I was a baby.
Aww.
That is like, she'd like painted it to look like me. So
how do both of you feel that there were dolls made to resemble? There was not a doll made to resemble me. I will say that. And I will come back to my creepiest doll story that is real and not related to an episode of Fantasy Island that I do not need to talk about. But both of you had dolls that were replicas of you as babies. What is that about?
I mean, mine wasn't a replica. It was more just like, there's a fair amount of like brunette dolls and hair and like greenish eyes. It's not terribly uncommon in the doll world. And it was so, but I think it's that thing of it's the looks like me doll is always been a thing historically. So I'm glad I don't have one that truly was supposed to look like me. My grandmother was supposed to make one, but then she made me a really upsetting doll. Its faces change.
Whoa.
Like laugh, cry, or sleep. So
yeah, that is upsetting.
How does that even work? Is there animatronics inside?
No, it's a little, there's like a knob on top and there's usually it's wearing a bonnet or a hat. And then,
oh, and it just has a three-sided head cylinder that you can, oh my God, that is horrifying. That is like the god Janus of Greek myth.
Very creepy.
Yeah, they're called Janus dolls. You also
oh, shit.
So yeah, I can send you, we have one on display right now. It's real upsetting. So I'll send you some photos.
Great. I would love to post them on the Facebook in relation to this episode.
It's one of the more intense ones I've ever seen. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm horrified, and I haven't even seen it.
Yeah, I don't know, the dolls that look like you. Like, there's a thing where they will have like dolls wearing kids' christening dresses. That's mm-hmm. Or like baby outfits. It's like, I don't have kids, but I get the like parent missing the baby kid. And I definitely have a doll at work that looks like you, Nate, if I can find it.
Oh my God. You have to then, because that's
dolls.
I'll change this doll to my profile picture on social media. If it looks enough like me. I'm horrified though. My grandmother had a life-size Shirley Temple doll with eyes that would close when she leans back and stuff. This Shirley Temple doll always sat in a chair in her sewing room, which happened to be the room that I had to sleep in whenever I would go to Delaware and visit them. And yeah, there's nothing more horrifying, I think, than one, waking up in a bedroom that is not yours, in a place that you're not familiar with as a child, turning and seeing that there is a painting of the Virgin Mary on the wall. And then just below that and to the left, there is a Shirley Temple doll that is staring at you with its cold, dead eyes. and it's literally like, it was my size for probably like 4 or 5 years there. I'm slightly taller than it now, but you know.
Yeah,
that's definitely terrible.
Yeah, and then you have to think about all of her politics and how she was an ambassador and had real power at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. She's
more upsetting than you thought.
Imagine if the doll that you have that looks like me is actually supposed to be me, and then I was president and you had the doll.
It's like the wizard cards from the jumping frog thing, Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where they're dead but still alive within the bounds of the card.
Yeah, but like Dumbledore, you don't even have to be dead because like Dumbledore is in a card and then he leaves and they're like, he can't hang about all day. What?
Right, yeah. So like their pictures, they could go from picture to picture too. Like you could hop into other people's pictures.
Like so many people watching the Super Bowl and Puppy Bowl at the same time.
Crazy.
What are you doing?
Great job, both of you, on the opening question. I am awarding each of you 2 points. And now we're going to start with topic number one. And Becca, I'm going to let you start it because you already alluded to it. Do you have a vague idea about American Girls?
Oh, I have much more than a vague idea about American Girls.
Discuss.
Yeah. American Girls is a American doll brand. They have standalone stores all over the country where you can go in and get a doll. And they have historic girls that are girls from different eras of history. So like Molly was a girl from the 1940s, and she's got stories that go along with her, with the doll, and you can buy all her outfits. The newest American Girl doll just came out this year, and her name is Courtney, and she's from the 1980s, and it's super weird because she has her own Molly doll. So the doll has a mini doll.
Which is actually a doll that is composed of the club drug Molly that people right. would take in the 80s.
Yes, yeah. Of course. So there's Molly and Samantha and Kirsten, who's like a Swedish immigrant, and Addie, who is African American. So yeah, I know all about the American Girl dolls, and I was, you know, sadly disappointed as a child that I never got one, and I had to go over to my friend's house to play with them and read all the books. And there's even movies. It's like a whole world of American Girls.
These are expensive dolls.
Yes, they are.
For what it's worth, I mean, I don't remember how much they were when I was younger, because I feel it anyway. Wendy, what can you add about American Girl dolls before I talk too much?
Well, originally they were done by the Pleasant Company, who sold out to a larger company. And there's like fierce, like sort of which one's better. And the Pleasant Company started that historic thing. So like really the Kit Kitteridge Great Depression era doll is awesome, but
I remember that one.
The movie is legitimately good. It's a great family movie and people should watch it if you like need a things can get better movie. But yeah, you know, they come with just a wild amount of accessories. They have trunks, they have party outfits, they have the books, which Becca mentioned, which are also just really great.
They're good books. Like, yeah. For the, you know, second, third, fourth grade girls, they're like good, solid stories.
With good history in them. So, I mean, yeah. I think that when you talk about people and how to get people into history, I think they were really one of the great sort of educational toys in a really unique way. Becca definitely listed, I think, most of them. But the stores are like, the stores can be intense. They have tea parties, and some of them, they have like full salons. You can get whole new outfits. You can get a fully customizable doll that looks like you.
There's that thing again.
But there are actually really great American Girl like Instagram accounts and things where people set up full like scenes with their American Girl dolls. These are adults that do this.
Of course, it is the adults.
And so there's people that like rescue American Girls and refurbish them, and then they'll have like a whole crew of them and set up parties and adventures and Halloween parades, which is actually like really fun. And so there's this sort of group, and there's another group that's largely kids that do stop motion YouTube videos with their American Girls.
Oh, no way.
I think it's one of those toys that there's something realistic enough about them that you're like, oh yeah, like they're definitely having a Nancy Drew style adventure together. you know, like they have this sort of personality that's buildable and relatable, probably because they have backstories. So I went with a lot of the more esoteric stuff, but yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I think what I remember, so they started in 1986. That's when they become available. I just remember that it was this novelty because for the most part, and I could be wrong, both of you can correct me, but prior to the existence of American Girl dolls, there weren't really dolls that had backstory significance. Like Barbie would say, oh, you can be a doctor and you can be a chef and you can be a flight attendant or a Corvette owner or a dream house.
That's my dream, to be a Corvette owner.
I want to own a pink Corvette, right? But none of those came with any sort of substantial background, right? It was just like, you put your fantasy of this type of consumerism onto the Barbie that you've bought. And American Girls really did go out of their way to say, hey, well, the history had important women in it, and there was slavery, and there was, you know, voting rights and animal abuse and all sorts of shit going on that you need to know about. And so it was kind of this confluence of the Babysitter's Club kind of textual reality and something that was attainable as a doll. So yeah, very cool. Great job for both of you.
The other thing is that, speaking of the like uncanny, you can get a doll that looks like you, American Girl also had like a make your own doll steer, like that you could like go to the store and like, or like go online sometime. I never got this, but like they had a make your own basically where you could get a doll that looked just like your kid. And that's super creepy.
I mean, I had a Samantha, which looked like
Samantha
me.
Samantha looks like you anyway.
For white girls with long brown hair. And then, so I had all the books and I was like the youngest grandchild. And then they also used to sell patterns. So
back, you can make your own clothes. Yeah.
My grandmother made them, and they used to also have adult size pattern, or not a kid size patterns. So my grandmother made me and my doll matching nightgowns.
Oh my God.
I know. So now my niece has that too.
That's like, I mean, that's out of a cartoon though. That's out of like How the Grinch Stole Christmas, that, you know, Cindy Lou Who and Cindy Lou Who's doll both have the same nightgown on.
Yeah, we definitely have been rocking the sort of storybook childhood for a couple generations now. But it's, you know, I just gave all of my Samantha stuff because it makes me sad when toys aren't played with, and to my niece and my one of my volunteers who collects American Girls and does those really cool scenes I was talking about. She was like, "Do you know how much that's worth?" And I was like, yeah, it's fine. She was like, that's true, because she gets the value of playing with dolls.
Do either of you think it would be a good idea for a person to go into an American, when going into an American Girl story makes sense, and taking a photo of a child that isn't theirs and trying to have a doll made of them? Do you think they'd stop that?
Hard.
Yeah, probably a bad idea.
I mean, definitely a bad idea. I think I phrased the question poorly, but I wonder if they like, if they have a preventative measure where they're like, this creepy guy with no pants keeps coming in with pictures of kids and wants dolls.
It's the no pants that might get you. But, you know, like sure. A picture of Shirley Temple,
right.
Be okay. You know, if you came in with, a picture of Hannah Montana, like the character.
Right, right. Yeah, not just Miley Cyrus contemporarily covering a popular 80s song on YouTube.
She's playing a Metallica album, so get psyched.
Yeah. she's doing a lot of cool shit, actually. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, but Cranberries cover is for real.
Yeah. No,
Garbage or Cranberries?
Yeah, no, Cranberries, she just did. She just did Zombie, right?
But anyway, like, you know, If you were in the picture and it was clearly a family gathering, like I feel like if I had me and my niece and I was like, I want to get her a doll. It's also easier as a woman, let's not lie, but.
Oh, sure. So yeah, I mean, if I had like a traditionally folded over photo where it was clear that the other people in the photo have left my reality, but it was me and a child, then I think hopefully that would raise alarm bells for them. And they'd be like, I don't think we should.
Dad or uncle vibes going
yeah.
on. But I'm sure, I mean, working in the toy world, there's just a lot that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I'm pulling threads on desperate stories that could be a Twilight Zone episode.
I mean, if you came in with a doll that you treated like a real person, I would probably just indulge that. And go.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you're not going to argue with me. You're going to quietly call some sort of services to come just be there. And you're going to say, yeah, sir, you look like you and your friend are doing very well. Let me make you some lemonade. We have lemons and sugar in the back. I'll be back in 40 to 60 minutes.
Yeah, I, you know, it happens more than you would think. So.
Oh no.
And you, yeah. Let's hope we give you one dolls, eh, Becca?
Yeah, right.
Great job on American Girl. 2 points each. And Wendy, do you have a vague idea about Barbie versus Bratz?
Oh man. Oh man. This, I mean, I missed a lot of the Bratz era, but Bratz were invented by a Barbie or Mattel Barbie designer. So Bratz came out and they came out hot. They came out popular. They were great because they're a lot, I mean, like they looked like more modern, cool, late 90s, early aughts ladies. They were like kind of like a little more rock and roll. There were different skin colors. There was sort of that exaggerated cartoon Barbie type, body type that was more like kid, in some ways more kid friendly. I had this discussion 2 weeks ago at work, but and then Mattel sued him and they had to stop Bratz production. And I mean, I think it was a shame because I think they were a great doll and they really changed that sort of fashion doll for kids genre in like a really cool way at a time it really needed it.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Becca, anything to add?
I just want to say that Bratz have like weirdly shaped heads.
They do.
like the, you know, like Barbies are not proportional in any way. Like, of course they have, like Bratz don't have the same like unrealistic, super unrealistic body type that Barbies have, but Bratz have like very big heads and these like weird kind of very large eyes. They just kind of creep me out a lot. Also, the thing that I think about when I think about Bratz is the Bratz movie, which I think was better than any Barbie movie has ever been. Barbie has been in a lot of direct to VHS cartoons and movies, but the Bratz movie was like high quality. So, you know, if you're comparing Bratz to Barbie, I don't know about all the legal stuff that Wendy mentioned, but if you're comparing Bratz to Barbie, I say they've got weirdly shaped heads and a much better movie.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Yeah. The, yeah, Bratz have the oversized head. I think the bodies are kind of skinny.
Yeah. They're kind of like childlike. They're not like, they don't have the big boobs.
Yeah. They don't really have any sort of mature curvature or anything.
Mm-hmm. Jacked up old school strawberry shortcakes.
Yeah. Somebody stretched them a little bit. But yeah, it's crazy. This whole legal battle between Barbie and Bratz is a huge like case study for basically just like trade secret misappropriation cases. So because as Wendy said, the designer of Bratz was working at Mattel on Barbies at the time, then went, oh cool, I can do this new thing, and popped out and used the connections and things they had as advantages, da-da-da. It's wild. Both sides in this case spent over $100 million in legal fees.
It's crazy.
And the the judge awarded $85 million to MGA, winning against Bratz. So yeah, bummer. And good on you, Becca, for bringing up the movie, because that was the thing I was going to bring up, is I knew that there was definitely a Bratz movie that was contemporary and cast with all live people. Because yeah, as far as I recall, all the Barbie movies are weird, cheap CG or right, some other kind of animation.
I was going to say, I think Bratz is the first instance where we have the Z instead of the S.
Yeah.
And that became a big thing in the 2000s, that everything was like with a Z. So I don't know if Bratz is the first thing, but it was one of the big early popular things.
It influenced all three of us to put the silent Z's in our names. Yeah. And listener, if you can guess where those Z's are, you could win $1 million. Tweet at Nate Regolia. Great job. Wendy, 3 points. Becca, 2 points. And now it's time to play our first game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, we have a couple of doll named, but not doll direct combatants. So Becca, you'll get a first crack at this. Who wins in a battle to the death in the Thunderdome between the Pussycat Dolls and the New York Dolls?
I don't feel like I know a lot about the New York Dolls or honestly the Pussycat Dolls. I just feel like that there's a lot of Pussycat Dolls. Like they're I think are a lot of them.
They're rolling deep.
Yeah, they're rolling deep because I feel like they've got that kind of like rolling roster where there's like 20 people that have been Pussycat Dolls over the years. You know, kind of like Menudo, where it's like there's always just a rotating group of people that are called the Pussycat Dolls. And so I'm going to say the Pussycat Dolls just because there's just a bunch of them. So they just win by sheer numbers.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. Wendy, what do you think? Pussycat Dolls or New York Dolls?
This is a hard one because I think, I mean, New York Dolls, they're a wild bunch, you know, they're known for some riffraffery. Pussycat Dolls all wear stilettos, so that's sort of like coming with your own weapon but also right. Your own sort of physical limitations if you don't take those off.
There's a lot of sand in the Thunderdome.
Yeah so I mean and then I could also see like the New York Dolls like just not caring enough to like the Pussycat Dolls like coming hard and New York Dolls just being like, you're all crazy. like the New York Dolls definitely have the more mobility and clothing. And Pussycat Dolls definitely like if you sweat too much and your makeup gets in your eyes, you're blind. I mean, I think I'm gonna go New York Dolls, even though I think they might just not care enough to bother to battle the Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, I think I look, in fairness, the New York Dolls are all on the older end of the spectrum at this point. Pussycat Dolls are probably all in their 30s to 40s now. I don't know. Probably close to our ages. Honestly, but and we're still spry and ready to fight, aren't we? But yeah, I think it's interesting because the Pussycat Dolls sort of traded purely on sexuality, right? And in a very heteronormative sort of sexuality. It's like we're ladies, we're sexy, we're slinky, we're coming at you. We got whisper singing, we got stilettos. We got
doing the pole dancing all the time.
Yeah, we're doing some Which butt shaking.
Requires some athletic ability too.
Yeah. You have to be in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's tough because the New York Dolls are trading on androgyny and a sort of proto-punk new style of sexuality that's happening in the 70s and early 80s. But they're also not probably in really good shape. Lots of cigarettes, lots of cocaine, I'm going to guess.
That could be both groups.
Yeah.
That also could go both ways. Like doing a lot of cocaine, it can give you that energy in the fight, you know, or it can make you crash hard and like have a really bad situation. So
I think this was actually the most difficult battle that we've had ever in the Thunderdome, and I commend both of you for taking a crack at it. So I'm going to award you each 1 point. I don't have a good answer. I feel like this could be a straight up draw. Just for lack of interest, or that they might just be like, oh, cool, let's hang out together and just let's just do a number.
Maybe let's just jam.
Yeah.
Like the Pussycat Dolls could get punk rock makeovers, and the New York Dolls could get like their hair extensions and the crazy like contouring.
Yeah.
Oh man, and David Johansen would love that contouring, you know.
I feel like they would all like things with like leather straps.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Belts as suspenders, as leather straps. There's a lot happening here. Yeah. Yes. Wow. We have stumbled into actually probably the coolest crossover album since that New Kids on the Block Backstreet Boys thing that happened.
Oh no.
So yeah, great job. 1 point each. And let's jump into round number three, shall we? Becca, do you have a vague idea about paddle dolls?
Paddle dolls. Ooh, I have no idea, so I'm going to make something up.
Great.
Paddle dolls are little figurines that you put on your canoe paddles when you're going out canoeing, which is something that I enjoy doing. And they help you to keep a good grip on your canoe paddle.
Okay.
And have fun faces. That's what I'm going to say about it.
Great. It's like a beer cozy, but for your canoe paddle.
For your canoe paddle,
with a charming face. I love it. That's great. Very good. Wendy, paddle dolls?
I don't have an idea. I want to say it's like like non-human whipping boy. So like when kids are bad, their doll gets paddled.
Like, it's just, look at what I could be doing to you, kid. Just straighten up so this doesn't have to happen.
Basically, your Katie doll was the paddle doll for your family where your brother would throw it.
Ryan was the only one that threw that doll against the wall.
Okay. So it's not a pattern of abuse of this doll. It's just an instance.
It's just Ryan.
Calling him out.
He's not like the world's nicest dad with like immense amounts of patience. So I think Katie taught him well. It's like a doll version of a whipping boy.
Okay. Yeah, you're both incorrect. But great job. Paddle dolls are a form of female figurine found in ancient Egyptian tombs. They are statuettes made of clay that are found in later period burials, and they're considered a sort of surrogate for the more coiffured wooden dolls. So they're often highly stylized. Archaeologists currently suggest that the emphasis on breast, hips, and the pubic area symbolize sexual aspects of regeneration. So you can take a lot of it with you, and you can bring a lot of it back with a paddle doll.
Excellent.
So yeah, great. I'm going to give you each 1 point for that. Well done. We all learned something about paddle dolls. That's a fun one. And now, Wendy, do you have a vague idea about poppets?
Poppets. Not
P-O-P-P-E-T-S.
All right, so not popples.
Yeah, not popples, but we can talk about popples if you want.
Popples are great.
I had a popple. I think I still do. Jenny has a popple as well.
Yeah, like a stuffy that turns into a ball you can kick around the house, and then you can it's great, great toy. We need to bring them back. Poppets. I feel like I do know this, but it's just eluding me. I don't think I have any idea. All I can think of is it's like a topsy-turvy doll that is one thing on one side and another thing on another side. And hopefully it has some like Punch and Judy, like inappropriate childhood violence to go with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. Becca, poppets?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that popped into my mind was also popples, which I loved popples when I was a kid. Like, you know, they like roly-poly, like they go turn into a ball and like they're great.
The cartoon was great.
Yeah, that was a great cartoon.
I love the cartoon. It's like Transformers, but softer. And that's what I always liked about it.
Are poppets like, are they handmade dolls or like having something to do with like kind of like voodoo dolls or something like that?
You're on the right track.
Okay, so I want to say that they're handmade dolls that, you know, before there was, you know, doll makers, people would make poppets, and that they could be like represented for people, and you could like do things to them to damage or hurt other people, kind of like voodoo dolls.
Very good, very good. Yeah, in folk magic and witchcraft, a poppet is a doll that's made to represent a person for the casting of spells on that person or to aid that person through magic.
Okay.
So they're occasionally found lodged in chimneys, because I guess people lodge them in chimneys. But they're made out of carved root, corn shafts, paper, wax, potato, clay, branches, etc.
Wendy can help you make a really great corn husk doll that I think could then be turned into a poppet, I'm sure.
Yeah, you could totally probably take a corn husk doll and then say, well, this is Bill and I don't like Bill and I think Bill should have diarrhea from now on. And that would be...
Is the suggestion that we should be making poppets for the election?
I think we probably should, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully all of our poppets have worked by the time this episode airs, because...
Maybe that's how the person in the White House, I kind of refuse to call him the president, maybe that's how he got the virus, is that somebody made a poppet of him.
Yeah, you gotta keep the witches happy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We should also make protection poppets for Biden.
Oh yeah, I think we should have protection poppets for a lot of different people at this point. We need to cover our bases very thoroughly. All right, great job. 1 point for Wendy, 2 points for Becca. Becca, you filled in the blanks about the magic and the voodoo, and that worked for me.
I was totally a guess. I was like, I had no idea.
So now it's time for our second game. It's time to play What Doll Is This?
Oh no.
So Becca, we'll start with you with question number one. I'm going to describe a doll, a type of doll, or perhaps a proper doll, and you just have to tell me what kind of doll I'm talking about.
Okay.
If you don't know, you can pass, and then Wendy can have a crack at it. If neither of you know, then we'll just pretend like the question never existed. Number one, though a bit flat, this doll has a lot of outfit options.
I'm going to say, are there any more clues, or is that's the whole clue?
That's it. You get that one phrase.
Barbie's kid sister is, I'm going to pass because I don't remember her name. Barbie's kid sister is, and I'm going to hate myself when I pass and Wendy knows it. But that's my guess, is Barbie's little sister.
Okay. Wendy, though a bit flat, this doll has a lot of outfit options.
Nope, I'm going to change my mind. Can I go
back? You can't. You passed. You can't change your mind.
It's a paper doll.
You cheated so much.
Barbie's little sister is Skipper.
Yeah. Skipper, okay.
Well, you're both getting a point there because Wendy knew Skipper.
Yeah. And because Skipper has a really boring board game. About horses.
Yeah, Paper Dolls was correct. Wendy, question number two. Johnny Gruel's, or Gruel, I don't know how to pronounce, cloth doll usually doesn't look too worn down despite her name.
Raggedy, Raggedy Ann.
Very good. Very good. All right, Becca, we're back to you.
I had a Raggedy Ann doll because my middle name is Ann, and it was one of my favorite dolls.
I had a Raggedy Ann doll as well.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're one of the first American fad dolls.
Yeah, it's just like, and that's the thing, this Johnny Gruel wrote a story about her and then drew plans that were patented, and it's like one of the earliest American doll patents. Yeah, wild stuff. So Becca, question number three. Oh no, don't let this giggling, cooing peer and pooper cinch your expectations of motherhood.
Okay, I want to say, is it Betsy Wetsy or... There's another one that's like Cindy something.
It's not either of those.
Not either of those. Yeah. Okay, Wendy. I'm not gonna jump in this time because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So it's
read the clue again.
So yeah.
Okay. Oh no! Don't let this giggling, cooing, peer and pooper cinch your expectations of motherhood.
Oh man. That just sounds like a really unpleasant doll. I don't know. I feel like there's like a...
This doll has probably the craziest non-doll-like name you could think of for a doll that does the things that are described in the clue.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. The doll in question is Baby Alive Whoopsie Doo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Baby Alive, that is a terrible name.
Oh, yeah, because it implies that all other dolls are baby dead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Wendy, you get a crack at number four since it was supposed to be yours. Looking for some depth, these turned wooden dolls have a ton of layers.
Have a ton of layers?
Layers. Yeah. L-A-Y-E-R-S.
Yeah. Because I was thinking Kokeshi dolls. Wait, what was the first part of it? Looking for some depth?
Looking for some depth? These turned wooden dolls have a ton of layers.
Oh, they're the Russian nesting dolls.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Matryoshkas. Very good. Very good. And that has been What Doll Is This? All right. And now... From the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, It's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. So we have been talking about dolls on this episode. The term action figure gets bandied about a lot these days. So I'm wondering, how is an action figure different from a doll? Becca, let's start with you.
An action figure, instead of not having any female genitalia, it doesn't have any male genitalia.
Very good. I love it.
I think also a character. It's a character. It's like a character from a cartoon or a movie or something in that sense. It's not just like a generic doll like Barbie or Ken. Because I guess right. Ken is a doll that doesn't have any male genitalia.
Yeah, he does. Does Ken do actions?
I don't think so. I mean, he does drive the pink Corvette with Barbie inside, but he does not do any sort of other actions really.
He plays golf and tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken has a sweater that's worn over the shoulders, tied around the neck.
Yeah.
Wendy, same question. How is an action figure different from a doll?
Kung Fu grip.
Very good.
Frequently historically they've been more articulated, but largely it's a marketing ploy. The G.I. Joe collectors in this region actually do refer to it as a doll club. So largely it's because of the patriarchy that we have action figures and they're not all just dolls.
Yeah, because they're just dolls for boys, guys. Just dolls marketed to boys.
Kung Fu grip.
Yeah. Your OG G.I. Joes were the size of Barbies, right? They were like 10 inch or 12 inches tall, but they didn't have like movable parts or anything, right?
Yeah, no, they have like articulated wrists and elbows and knees, which is more than Barbies, like shoulders and hips and neck.
Okay.
So frequently, I mean, you do get into Barbies that are more jointed, but usually Barbies, it's like leg.
And right.
G.I. Joes, you get like upper leg, knee, lower leg, some and ankle sometimes, along with shoulder, elbow, wrist. And like both of them have had some like dodgy, like midsection moving things.
Oh yeah. Well, I had the smaller version G.I. Joes that just had like a rubber band that held their torso to their hips and their lower half. And if that rubber band snapped, you had yourself a two-piece G.I. Joe for the rest of your life.
Dolls are pretty easy to restring, and most of them are held together with rubber bands. It's kind of wild.
Which, in this climate, they're all going to break eventually.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not so bad.
Something I remember is going over to my friend Kendra's house when we were, I don't know, 7 years old. And being invited to play with her Barbies and not understanding how you play with a doll whose feet can't actually flatten out because they're permanently in a very high stiletto heel position. So I was like, well, how does she like kick stuff and do cool things if she's gonna like be on tiptoes all the time? This seems dangerous.
I think we could go back and talk to the Pussycat Dolls about this.
Yes. I'm going to get the Pussycat Dolls on the line. Let's just hold for a moment. We'll see if I can get them.
Girls had choreography and that we want to talk action sequences.
Right. So here's a question. Would Pussycat Doll dolls be dolls or action figures? Because most of the time when it's a real person, you call it an action figure.
Oh yeah.
But the Pussycat
I would say like Josie and the Pussycats would be action figures, but Pussycat Dolls would still be dolls.
Okay.
Interesting.
I would like to get some Josie and the Pussycat action figures though, because that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good ass movie too.
Yes, such a good movie.
Great job on
great soundtrack.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, and just self-aware in a way that a lot of the late '90s was not. We should have learned lessons from the Pussycat from the Josie and the Pussycat movie.
Josie and the Pussycats. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, great job on La Chose Française Arbitraire. 2 points each, and it's time for the final topic. So I'm gonna let you both in on a little secret. Right now, Wendy, you're ahead by 2 points with 15. Becca, you have 13 points. So the final topic could decide everything, depending on how much one or both of you know about what I'm about to ask about next. Becca, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Do you have a vague idea about Annabelle
Oh, I don't have any idea about Annabelle, and I think Wendy knows because she's smiling.
Smiling a bit like Annabelle herself.
Yeah.
Great. Wendy, do you have a vague idea about Annabelle?
Yeah. Well, the movie or the real Annabelle?
Both. Talk it up.
About the movie, because horror movies are not something I'm adept at. But so the movie Annabelle uses, I believe, a porcelain or a composition doll, mm-hmm. because they're, like, in general, a little intense. But the real Annabelle is actually a rag doll. So, like, if there's a doll that is truly haunted and attacking people, you should be burning it. I mean, we burn the Velveteen Rabbit, but we're not burning a possessed doll.
Yeah, the Velveteen Rabbit is, like, devoted to the child it was given to in a way that is charming and adorable.
Yeah, and infection
is full of diseases. So, yeah,
but I mean, attacking and killing people is its own version of an infectious disease.
Yeah.
But it's actually like a rag doll, and I want to say maybe even a homemade Raggedy Ann kind of doll. And like I tell all children that tell me they're scared of dolls, that, like, the best defense against a doll is just to kick it. Like, you're gonna win. Like, if it's a porcelain doll, if you can kick it, you might even break its whole head. Like, I just, you know, people need to stop running and start lighting these dolls on fire. And if this gets turned into a horror movie, Becca will be the smart friend, Nate will be the friend that's already gone, and I will definitely be the friend that burns with the doll.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably, in fairness, I'm probably the friend who gets really stoned and then shoots himself because dolls have surrounded him over being just, like, gone.
Oh, I think the problem is that it's like Becca's the friend, the smart friend. I'm the friend. You're freaking out. And I'm like, let's just all light them on fire.
Yeah, they're just dolls. Come on, guys.
Inferno and Becca, the morning mist, sad and with her poppet, but alive.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Annabelle is a doll that's featured in some of the Conjuring series of horror films. It's also a real doll that Ed and Ed and Lorraine Warren, the real life subjects of the Conjuring movies, the ghost hunting, exorcism performing folk, they actually have a doll. The cloth doll that Wendy alluded to is the real doll that is in their little museum that they've kept in their family. But yeah, in the film, she's depicted as a porcelain doll. But basically, it's a doll that's got, like, a demon inside it, and it either makes people do things or it just terrorizes people and causes situations where, like, they're going to trip and fall on a knife or something like that. Yeah, just burn the dolls, people. Come on. So great.
I don't watch horror movies, and so this is why I don't know who Annabelle is, and I will never watch any of the movies that Annabelle is in, because I like to sleep at night without having dreams of terrible evil dolls. It's bad enough just going into the basement of the museum and seeing some dolls and being terrified. I don't need to then put that on a screen and watch it.
Oh yeah, and actually see it moving around and having ill intent. Yeah, and in fairness, I don't think any of the Annabelle movies are particularly good. So as far as horror movies that you would need to see if you were a person who ever wanted to watch them, I wouldn't full-throatedly recommend those as a place to start.
But yeah, I mean, if there's any horror movie directors listening, I will totally take a fee to make your doll movies more scary, because like Becca's probably alluding to one of the dolls we have, which is a Civil War era doll wearing real children's shoes, and it has real
children's hair too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's oh god,
the cloth doll, you know. So I mean, we can do better. We can infiltrate the nightmares for generations to come. Let's kick it up a notch. Don't ever play the "is this a knife?" like that's not a knife sort of Crocodile Dundee game with me with scary dolls, because
yeah. I will say that the new museum location is not as creepy as the old museum location, and because it does not have, like, a creepy attic and a creepy basement, right. And so it's just the dolls that are scary, not the building plus the dolls, which is nice.
Yeah, cool. They're no longer a haunted building that we're in. And it's like well lit and it doesn't make a lot of old house creaky sounds.
Yeah, like every time the heat would come on or you would turn on the faucet, it would make noise in the whole house.
Yeah, good time.
I feel like that old house makes sounds when I walk by it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully someone's like, I don't know, squatting in it.
Yeah, it's not purposed to anything yet.
It's being used as storage.
Oh, wow. What a good use of an entire house that's probably worth $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't need to get into Denver real estate talk.
Or history, or like conservation smack talk.
Right. Yeah.
History of Colorado.
The new location is less creepy. I would say there's more locked doors between the collection storage and the rest of the building. And I also have some great new doll volunteers who, like, they're like in their 30s and 40s and they're super excited about it. And so their enthusiasm, I think, probably makes all the dolls nicer.
And these are human beings who are volunteering, not dolls that are volunteering.
Well, we do have an American Girl doll that comes and helps out sometimes.
Nice. Okay. And she's 40.
No, I don't know how old she is, but her person who brings her is, I want to say, late 30s. And it's great because they're just like excited about dolls and they remind me of all the like great history you can learn from dolls and
technology
that's come from dolls and like sayings. Like, I don't know why I didn't know this, but the term $1 million baby comes from a doll.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Chatty Cathy also comes from a doll, but.
Yeah. That is a talking, like a pull string talking doll, right?
Although if you want to hear some nightmarish sounds, there's recording of the early talking doll that was done by, who's one of the early 20th century inventors?
Thomas Edison or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Thomas Edison talking doll, it was on wax, like a wax cylinder.
Oh, yeah, and it was just the sound of an elephant being electrocuted, so it wasn't particularly appealing from a little girl, but...
That's something to look up for your wintertime nightmares.
Great. Everybody who needs white noise to fall asleep when you can no longer run air conditioners or fans, we'll get you that sound.
Maybe you have a bad roommate. Record it under their bed.
Hey, Halloween will have come and gone by the time this comes out. Never mind.
There's like a prankster for Christmas somewhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's a special Christmas. You might not be able to see your family in person, but you can damn well scare the shit out of them by planting a sound playing device under their bed when they're not home, socially distanced, carefully masked, sanitized. And it'll make these gurgling doll sounds that Thomas Edison thought were the coos of children. Great, great job on the final topic on Annabelle. 2 points for Wendy, 1 point for Becca. And that means we have a final score. And Wendy, you have won with 17 points. Becca, you had 14 points. It was a very close game. It really all turned on what doll is this.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had remembered... the paper dolls just a second faster.
Baby Alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Baby Alive Whoopsie Doo is just something that I was like, this is the most clever, weird name I've ever heard in my entire life. So I'm going to go ahead and bring it up.
I mean, there was a lot of just super weird stuff in the doll and toy industry in the 80s. Like the kid, my buddy and kid sister. Super creepy.
Monchichi.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Monchichi was just like little weird monkey people. Right. Mm-hmm. Which seems like it should be canceled. Should it be canceled? Probably. I don't know.
It's probably, I feel like it might be racist.
Yeah.
It's like, is this racist? I don't know.
That's like definitely walking a lot of lines if it's not.
Yeah.
Glowworm also.
Oh, I love Glowworm. That was Glowworm. Great. I had Glowworm.
The best battery pack that you could cuddle.
Yeah.
Great. They were so hard in the middle. I remember, like, I think I had one. I mean,
they had like the soft head and the soft tail.
Yeah, but like the entire midsection was just the black box from a crashed airplane.
But I mean, we still have Popples, which we all agree were.
Popples were top notch. Top notch.
Where's those like pillow friends? Like always disappointed.
I had a Hulk Hogan like wrestle pillow because they had those things. So it was basically a Hulk Hogan like fabric doll that you were just supposed to wrestle with on the bed. I remember body slamming that Hulk Hogan a few times. Those were the days. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, after like that definitely took over from like a Stretch Armstrong, and there's like Evel Knievel toys, which
which there are a lot of pullback motorcycles that would jump things and whatnot. Yeah. Well, thank you both for being on the show. This was a lot of fun. Wendy, as winner, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Come visit the Denver Museum of Miniature Dolls and Toys. You can get tickets online unless pandemic has gotten worse and they've shut everything down again. But then you could just watch my weird videos on YouTube where I ramble about toy facts.
And the weird videos are really good, I gotta say. Like I've watched several, and it's endearing, and your enthusiasm shines through. And there's a lot of good details too. It's like it's a learning thing. It's also one of those things where I get to go, hey, I know this person, and they're in a video that I'm watching.
Yep. It's something.
Becca, sorry you didn't win this particular episode, but do you have anything that you would like to plug?
So going into like November, late November, early December, I hope that the pandemic is doing well and that, you know, if it's not, then stay at home and wash your hands and put on a mask. If you happen to know a girl in the ages of, you know, 5 to 18, kindergarten through 12th grade, who is maybe stuck at home doing virtual school and wants to do some fun things, check out Girl Scouts, because we are doing a ton of virtual programming and having some limited in-person things going on. And take a look out in the beginning of the year for Girl Scout cookies coming online. Find a Girl Scout near you and buy cookies to support her dreams. So.
Yeah. Everybody needs to buy all the cookies because I'm going to buy all of them if you don't get yours first. So I'm just be ready for that. Yeah.
We're going to have like drive.
They're so good.
We're going to have peanut butter and chocolate. Booths. You're going to be able to like buy things online, get things shipped or delivered right to your house. No matter what, the cookie season is happening. In Colorado, it's going to be starting February 1st. So, you know,
all right.
Just like mark that on your calendar, just have to get through the end of this year. And then February will be here and you can get your Girl Scout cookies.
We'll get inauguration and then we get something sweet after that. Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, hopefully inauguration will be a sweet thing as well. I'm sure that by the time this comes out, you will know what we do not at this point, and hopefully we no longer will have the current occupant of the White House.
Listener, you are living in a Schrodinger's timeline where you both know and don't know at the same time what is happening. And we are trapped. We are trapped in a horrible box, a glass case of emotion. Thank you both again for doing this. This was a lot of fun. It was good to see you both and to talk about dolls in both creepy and non-creepy capacities. I appreciate it. I appreciate them a lot more after this. I've learned a lot. Listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That always helps. If you like our theme song, check out Michael J. O'Connor's music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. Otherwise, I hope that you are wearing masks, taking care of yourselves, washing your hands, being thoughtful, measured even, considering position in the universe as not solely yourself, but as one of a collective of hundreds of millions of human beings. Dare I say billions? There are actually billions of people, and you're only one of them. But thank you for listening. That means a lot because, hey, you took the time. This has been a lot of fun. We have all had a vague idea about dolls tonight, which is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perez. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.